Nehemiah chapter 8, I looked at this a little bit Wednesday night, and it's on my heart to look back at this thought again. Nehemiah chapter 8, I love the book of Nehemiah. He had a desire to rebuild the wall of Jerusalem that had been torn down when Nebuchadnezzar came in and pretty much annihilated Jerusalem, took the Jewish people into captivity. Now that captivity is over, and God has instructed his people to go back home. Some did, most didn't. Those that did were facing a lot of rebuilding. They were facing a lot of battling. Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem did not want the project to be successful or finished. They hated the things of God, and they did their best to stop or at the very least to hinder the rebuilding of the wall. So these people, after they've come back, wanting to establish a walk with the Lord in the place where God had assigned them, are building, and they are battling, and they're going through a difficult time. They are weary from doing both. The building is a tough job. The battling is a tough job. A lot of stress involved. And that's exactly where most churches are at. We are weary. We are tired. And as I said Wednesday night, the solution to this problem, to me, seems a little bit unusual. It'll surprise me a little bit. Because we find in these verses that the Lord points to the fact of their joy. Notice what it says, verse 10. Then he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat and drink the sweet. This is Nehemiah speaking to the people of God. And send portions unto them whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be ye sorry, and here's the phrase that's on my heart. For the joy of the Lord is your strength. For the joy of the Lord is your, what they needed, strength. And I'm trying to ask you this question, will we survive? They are going through some significant problems, not just some little bitty things, but things that literally will knock them out of commission. And will end the building project. It will ruin and wreck what God's trying to do. And they are at a place where they need some help from a higher source than mankind. And we could truly ask them, we could ask of their group, will you survive? Are you going to make it? I asked the same question about us, about our churches. I looked again this afternoon. And the decline of the church is significant. This last year was the highest decline in churches in 100 years. Even adding the Muslims and the Jewish people and what they call Christians, it's about 47% of the population of our country who even claim to be a part of a church. But if you look at those who really go and are really faithful, it goes way down. And I want to ask you a question. Are we going to be able to survive this? Does this mean the beginning of the end for God's people or the Lord's church? I do know this. I said this Wednesday. I'll say it again. God wants us to be like Him. He wants His children to be like Him. He wants us to be holy because He's holy. He wants us to be kind because He is kind. He wants us to be wise because He is wise. He wants us to be patient because He is patient. He wants us to tell the truth because He tells the truth. But all those things, even though they're true, there's another thing I have on my heart. He wants us to be joyful because He is joyful. All the way through Scripture, we look at God as some mean ogre just barking out commands and slapping people around. And there is some of that, there's no doubt. But God is a joyful God. He is a joyful God. Jesus said, "My joy I want you to have." Well, he had it. That tells us he's a joyful God. I told you about the verse where it talks about he shall rejoice over you with singing. I love the fact that God is a God of joy. And he said that joy is so important because it is your strength. But notice what he said. He said the joy of the Lord, that tells me it's more than just happiness. It's more than just something we get because our circumstances are good in mental life. The worst sinner on earth can be good and feel good and smile when everything's going good. But I want to tell you one thing for sure. Just like these enemies came in and tried to hinder and wreck and stop the project of God, the devil's going to try and rob from us the joy that the Lord of heaven wants. I mentioned Wednesday night that joy and salvation are connected. It says there in verse 1, the people, God's people. This is talking about God's people. And there's no way in the world we'll ever have joy if we aren't saved. No way in the world. Happiness and temporary pleasure from sin, perhaps so, but not real joy. Joy and salvation are connected, and joy and strength are connected. He said, the joy of the Lord is your strength. He said, the thing that's going to keep you going is joy. It's going to give you the strength you need when you don't have what you need. And you think about it, when you're joyful, isn't it easier to serve the Lord? Isn't it easier to say no to temptation? So I want to go on this evening to mention some more things about the joy of the Lord and whether we're going to survive or not. Number 3, joy and Scripture are connected. Joy and Scriptures are connected. Look in verse 1. And all the people gathered themselves together as one man into the street and was before the water gate. And they spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel. They met at the water gate, which is a symbol of the word of God. And they asked Ezra to bring the book of the law and to read it before them. Look in verse 3. And he read therein before the street that was before the water gate from the morning until midday. You think I go long sometime. He took half the day just to read his text. From morning until midday before the men and women and those that could understand, and the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law. Now look in verse 8. So they read in the book of the law of God distinctly and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. He did not just read it. He did that in verse 1. And he did not just read it in a hurry. He read it slowly and distinctly to where they could not only hear the words but understand the meaning. And then he explained what the word of God meant. And this is exactly when God said, this is what the joy of your Lord is going to be. It's connected to the Scripture. And I'll tell you something. Without this book in our heart, we will not have joy. There is no way in the world. This book is a part of our joy. You take it out and you take with it the joy that the Lord is talking about, and so am I. Here's what Jesus said. These things have I spoken unto you that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. He said, these things have I spoken, the word of God. I have spoken it to you and I want you to hear what I've said and I want that word to soak in and stay there. To remain, it means to continue, not just a brief moment, not just for while we're sitting there, but let it sink in and stay. And then he said that my joy might remain in you, that you might have joy and that your joy may be full. That word full means to cram to the top,
to run over. We want to know how we're going to have joy. I'll tell you one thing. We got to get in this book and get this book in us. 1 Thessalonians, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. Here's these people suffering miserably, but they got the word in them. They took the word in them, and it produced joy in the midst of their suffering. You want to know how we're going to make it? You want to know how we're going to survive? You want to know if we'll survive? I'll tell you what, we will if we get in this book and get this book in us. Joy and the scriptures are connected. You can't have one without the other. In verse 14, notice what it says. And they found written in the law which the Lord had commanded by Moses, and the children of Israel should dwell in the booths in the feast of the seventh month. They are reading the word and hearing what God says. So they're hearing the word and they're taking it in. They're listening to it. And that's the first thing we need to do. We need to hear the word through preaching, teaching, reading, studying. We need to get this book in us. We need to read it. We need to hear it. 1 Thessalonians 1:6, having received the word in much affliction. Did you hear what I said? I just read that verse. And joy of the Holy Ghost. Say, receive the word. Well, I want to tell you something. We need to devour the word. When we're reading, by the way, if you're reading, hope you are. I'll tell you one thing. If you aren't, don't expect joy. Don't be surprised if you're not joyful if you don't expose yourself to the things that's going to give you joy. If we read, we need to read, as I've said so many times, slowly and carefully. I'd rather read one verse all day and get something than 10,000 words and not get a thing. We need to slowly read and listen to what God's word said. It is Him speaking to us. But then notice in verse 17, and all the congregation of them that were coming in out of the captivity made booths and sat under the booths. He's talking here about the booths, or what we would call lean-tos, that they would do every year, the Feast of Booths or Tabernacles. And they would build these booths, these lean-tos, and they would live in those for a week, remembering how God took care of them while they were in the wilderness. And they read in verse 13 and verse 14 that that's what they were supposed to do. And guess what? In verse 17, they did it. They heard the word. They took the word in. But most important, perhaps, they did what the Bible says. Do we think this is just some textbook that maybe we could pass some test someday? Do we think this book is just for information that we might learn some things? This is a manual. This is a roadmap. This book is supposed to tell us how to live. And when we hear what it says, we're to do what it says. And one of the reasons we're falling short as far as joy is because if we do hear the word, we aren't doing it all the time. I'm talking about joy in Scripture is connected. And without the Scripture, we'll not have joy. We need to hear it. We need to listen. Believe it. Believe what it says. Romans 15, 13. Now the God of hope. Oh my, we need hope. Hope means an expectation. It's not a, well, I hope it don't rain again. That's not Bible hope. Hope is an assurance and an expectation. It's like faith we're expecting. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. Part of taking in the Scripture is believing what it says. Believing what God told us. Believing what He said is right. And applying it to our lives and accepting it as fact, even though it doesn't seem like it. Even though it seems like there is no hope. This Bible tells us there is hope. Even though it seems like there is no way out, there is a way out. Even though it seems like I can't, God says, with my help, you can. We need to believe what God said. Listen to what he said, but believe what he said. Accept it as fact, and then, like I already said, do what he said.
Verse 17 says, and there was very great gladness. When they heard, believed, and did what God said, then, after that, they were glad. They had joy. Jeremiah said, thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. The word of God gives us hope to go on. When we know what the word says and believe what the word says and obey what the word says, it gives us that faith to keep going. And God will produce in us a joy that we would not have otherwise. If we neglect the word, ignore the word, or even if we rush through it, you may be read every day. I hope you do. But if we rush through, now reading through the Bible every year, that's fine, that's great. But if we're reading through the Bible every year, just to be reading through the Bible every year, and we're rushing through it so much that we don't get anything, I'm not sure our plan is the best. We need to slowly, not rush through, not with something else in our mind, with music playing in the background. We need to devour this word, get in this word, and slowly read through it and let it get in us and filter through us. We are starving, and our cupboard is full. We are sick and have the cure in our hand, the word of God. And I want to tell you, we need this book in us. Without this book, we will not have lasting joy. We'll lose the battle. That's what we're talking about, building and battling. Are we going to survive? Well, let's go on a little bit further. Will we survive? The joy of the Lord, that's how you're going to make it. Are you kidding me? The joy? I mean, I need power. I need help. I need information. I need wisdom, yeah. But the joy is what's going to keep you going. Joy and salvation are connected, and joy and strength are connected, and joy and scriptures are connected, but also joy and separation are connected. You knew I had to get here sooner or later, right? But you know why I did? Because it's in the Bible. Look at verse 17. Read this verse already, but get it. And all the congregation of them that were come again out of the captivity made booths and said under the booths, for since the days of Jeshua, the son of Nun, unto that day had not the children of Israel done so. And there, then, after that, and there was very great gladness. It says there that they made the booths, they made these lean-tos out of palm branches, and they stayed under those booths like God had said, and very clearly it says they had not been doing this, so had they had let their standards slip, they had let their obedience slack off, and they had paid the price. And when they went back to doing what God said, God's way, they got gladness again. Joy and separation are connected. Now, we don't look at it that way. We look at, boy, all these rules, all these regulations. I can't do this. I can't do that. We can't. Don't. Or. God will get you. Oh, listen. The most joy we'll ever have is to walk separate with the Lord and away from the world. Those booths were actually staying out in a lean-to for 7 days, sleeping out, if you will, in the open, sometimes just on the roof of their house, sometimes in their yard, sometimes they'd go further away. But it was a time when they could get away from their life and away from the world and separate themselves. And they had not been doing that. And when they started doing it again, there was joy. Great gladness was the result. I'll tell you what, until we learn that separation is not an ugly word, we're not going to have real joy. Nehemiah 8:18. Also, day after day, from the first day unto the last day, he read in the book of the law of God, and they kept the feast 7 days. And on the eighth day was a solemn assembly according to unto the manner. The thing I want us to get out of that verse is this. They read the word day after day
after day after day. Now, the way I say that, it sounds so difficult and so hard and so tiring. But I want to tell you one thing. It was that gave them strength. And the thing that's in that verse that I want to magnify is this. They read the word aloud publicly to everyone, and they heard it day after day after day, and they were not required to do that. God had said for them to read it, but he did not. In other words, they were doing more than what God had said. And it wasn't because they felt like, oh, we got to, or God's going to be mad. They wanted to. They love the word. Their zeal has been stirred. Their joy is coming back. And they want more of that that's given them joy. So they're saying, oh, what in the world does the world have for us? There's no joy in the world. There's no fun in the flesh. They did more than the law required. They obeyed the Lord because they wanted to. They wanted to get away from the world and closer to God. And I want to tell you one, that's where your joy will come. When you have the joy of the Lord, there's nothing in this world that will allure you. Now, that's not saying the devil can't tempt you. Of course he can. But I want to tell you one thing. When you love the things of God, there's a distaste or dissatisfaction in the things of the world. And when you can have a rose, why in the world would you drive a Geo? If you can have the best, why in the world would you take the least? And that's why the separation out of God's, in God's will, and for the fact that we love him, will do, it'll create a joy in our heart. It's more than just quitting the bad, but it's doing the good. And it produces a life of joy. I said again, what temptation can the world do? What bait can the devil give us when our desire is the things of God? When we know how much joy God's will in our lives provides, why would anything in the world draw us away? Now listen, joy and separation are connected. Let me mention this, and I may quit. I didn't think I'd get done again. Joy and salvation are connected. Joy and strength are connected. Joy and scriptures are connected. Joy and separation are connected. Listen to this. Joy and sorrow are connected. Look in verse 9, just a portion. For all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. Now, how can that be? I have told you time and time again since I preached this that when they did what God said, when they heard God's word and they did what God said, it brought joy. But that verse, that portion of that verse tells us that when they heard God's word, they wept. They wept. And that's why I say joy and sorrow are connected. They wept when they heard God's word and realized we've been neglecting what God wants. We have not been doing God's will. We have not been obeying God's word. We've been walking our way. No wonder we don't have joy. No wonder God told us the joy of the Lord will be our strength. Joy and sorrow. In other words, God took them down before he could bring them up. He showed them their true condition. David said it like this, I am weary with my groaning. Oh, my sin has brought me low. I'm weary in my groaning. 2 Corinthians 7:10 says, for godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of. Paul said, the Lord said, when you're under godly sorrow, godly conviction about your sin, and it drives you to the bottom. You're broken, you're devastated, you're disheartened. When you repent of that sin, God lifts you up. And where there was sorrow, now there's joy because you know you've gotten right. So joy and sorrow are connected. James said, be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Why? Because you're not right with God. I am not suggesting for a minute that every Christian, no matter how far or how close they are to the Lord, no matter how they live, no matter what's in their life, can have joy. I'm not saying that at all. I am saying what the Bible says. If we get right with the Lord and we admit our condition before Him, then we can rejoice. Verse 9 says, mourn not nor weep. Why? Because you've gotten right now. You're doing what God said. It's not time to mourn now. It's not time to weep now. When we get right, we can rejoice. The devil trying to drag you back in, get you discouraged. Look at all the things you've done in the past. Listen, he's a liar, and we don't have to listen to him. We can rejoice. Jesus said, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are those that mourn, for they shall be comforted. When they admit and confess and repent and get right. We can have the joy of the Lord, the joy of the Spirit, but we can't have it going our own way. We cannot experience God's joy and have an unclean life at the same time. When our minds are on junk all day long, and it may not even be sinful junk, it may just be junk. When we have our minds on ourselves all day long, we will not have joy. We cannot have the joy of the Lord and the life and joy of the Spirit at the same time. We cannot have that. Listen, I am glad that there's joy in the Lord. The road of salvation is a path from here to the house, the heavenly house. But down the center of that road, there's a special spot for those who want to walk with God. And if you will, walk the straight and narrow. It's not confining, it's not binding, it's not hard, it's not heavy. Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Oh, listen. Here's what a preacher said, listen closely. Hardly ever read this much of a quote, but it's too good to not. You shallow Christians, I'm already hurting. You shallow Christians who do but believe in Christ, and barely that, whose Bibles are unread, whose closets are unfrequented, whose communion with God is a thing of spasms, you have not the joy of the Lord, neither are you strong. I beseech you, rest not as you are, but let your conscious feebleness provoke you to seek the means of strength. And that means of strength is to be found in a pleasant medicine, sweet as it is profitable, the delicious and effectual medicine of the joy of the Lord. I'll say this, but I won't dwell on it. Another point I want to mention, the joy of the Lord and the Spirit are connected. I'll deal with that next time. It says that the fruit of the Spirit, love, peace, gentleness, joy comes from Him. It's a gift. I told you already Wednesday, tell you again. I read through that, I don't know how many times, but when it's like the Lord said, the joy of the Lord is what's going to get you through. To me, that seemed overwhelming. Are we going to survive? I think we will. But I don't think we have to just barely struggle by and barely make it through. I'm afraid that's how most of us are, and I include myself. We are just barely trudging along, and the Bible talks about a joy from God that will give us strength to go on, not just barely making it, but going on in victory. I want that joy. I long for that joy. I need that joy, and so do you.